Hello, it's Friday, May 26th, and you're listening to Wing Radio. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing Radio, which can be found at www.wingtv.net. Today, our special guest is Mr. Bill Brumbaugh. How do you like that, Bill? I'm getting the name right this time. Mr. Bill Brumbaugh. And we're going to bring him on here in a second. First of all, though, we want to notify everybody to go to the Wing TV homepage. There's an article called, Who is Jeff Rentz? And we're not going to say anything more, but we're going to talk about this on our show Monday. Read the article. If you have any ideas, fire them our way because we're very curious as to what you think about this. Also, the reason why we have Bill on every month is really not only because he does such a good job with his email service, his email news service, which is the best one out there by far. We've said it many times before. But also, it doesn't matter what we throw Bill's way. He's so quick on his feet, he can field any question there is. And now that this is Friday, it's been a long news week. There's a lot to talk about. So we'd like to welcome Mr. Bill Brumbaugh from Proactive News to Wing TV.
How are you doing?
No se habla inglés.
There you go.
Oh, no.
The immigration issue is near and dear to my heart, folks. Thanks for having me up.
Oh, it's our pleasure.
Bill, this interview's in English, Bill.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's good. I only speak a little German, some Korean, and a little bit of Japanese. So.
Yeah. Well, Bill, before we get started, let everybody know how they can find your website, your radio show, and also how they can get on your email list, which we urge everybody to do if they're not already on it.
Okay. Well, first of all, my website is proactivenews.com. Proactivenews.com. My email is bill@proactivenews.com, spelled just like it sounds, proactivenews.com. And they get on my email list by writing subscribe and letting me know they're from Wing TV. I'll give you a temporary subscription. I do ask the gross high amount of $5 a month, though. And I'm kind of making that mandatory now because I'm getting upwards of the limit, and it's cost me a lot more money to send my list out. So, again, folks, if you can afford $5 a month, great. If you can't, though, I do ask you tell me in the name of God, Buddha, or whoever else you follow that you can afford it, and I'll find a way to get the email to you one way or the other.
All right. Very good.
Before you start.
Yeah.
You know, there's breaking news, Bill, that there were shots fired at the Rayburn building.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I called everybody I knew. Nobody was there.
Yeah, I just heard. Yeah, I just heard something on the radio, but it didn't seem like they had any details either. But just to start things off, the site that we saw on our news yesterday with Kenneth Lay, Jeffrey Skilling, guilty, Lay on all charges, Skilling found guilty on 35 charges brought against him. What's going on, Bill?
Well, I think they're trying to punish these guys. Now, they didn't hand the sentence out, though, yet, correct?
Correct.
I hadn't seen any of that. It's not the guilty charge I'm interested in. It's what the sentence was going to be. I mean, we've had other personnel retire with $400 million profiteering, and it's like, I want to know what these guys are going to be charged for, because if it is indeed $400 or $500 million in profits, which these guys took out during their profit-taking phase of Enron, then I want to sign up to be an Enron executive and do a couple years.
Yeah sign us up too.
This was a 16-week trial, and they had 56 witnesses. Do you think this verdict will be upheld?
I do think it'll be upheld. I'm just wondering, again, the penalty is what I'm interested in here. If indeed it is something slight, like a couple years, or, you know, parole eligible in 18 months or something like that, we know these guys are going to get it because they've played ball with the federal government in way too many scenarios, and I don't think that anything is going to break that trend. I'm pretty sure that these guys are going to get just a couple years of sentencing, and for that type of money, hell, you can sign me up.
Yeah, you can. And remember, Bill, that Kenneth Lay is a Bilderberg boy, so he's one of them. And from what I hear, that they said he actually testified in his own defense. They said he was a horrible witness, and one of the reasons why is they said that he had this arrogance about him, that he was above everyone, he was smarter than everyone, that he did nothing wrong. And after 5 years, he still has this attitude, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. As a matter of fact, it sounds like Bush's first cousin. No two ways about it. I mean, Bush and Blair last night, that was like MI1 and MI2. MI1 and MI2 are the moronics in common. incumbents that are serving the people respectively in Britain and the United States. And I could not believe these guys. You know, so what if they admitted their mistakes? They made the mistakes and they were unrepentant about them. The bottom line is we got Saddam and that's all that counts. Oh, my goodness. Not only do I not think that's Saddam Hussein, I think that this is a travesty of justice. I really do.
Oh, I agree.
Bill, Russia plans to launch an oil bourse, well, to trade in oil and gas in rubles. And there is speculation that this might be a worse blow to the stability of the U.S. dollar than the Iranian bourse, because Russian exports, oil exports, make up 15.2% of the world's export trade in oil, while Iran only comes in at 5.8% of export volumes. So what do you think the impact's going to be if we have Russia and Iran both impacting the dollar?
I think it'll be huge. And by the way, for the record, I do believe the U.S. is the largest oil nation. I think we have more oil than anyone does. The 3 trillion gallons that we found under the Colorado Rocky Mountains, the vast reserves of oil off the North Shore of Alaska, Long Island, on and on and on. And yet again, on a secondary level, we have Venezuela, who's a huge oil nation, perhaps only second to us, and we're not even counting Darfur and what's going on in Africa. So I think if indeed the RTS does this, the Russian bourse, it's going to be the excuse that they need to slam and damn the United States. I think this could really be the end, the beginning of the end. And I think between the oil and oil derivatives they have, they're trading in diesel fuel, jet fuel, fuel oil, they could slam us. And this would be the beginning of the end, and it would be the reinstitution of the Cold War.
Yeah, that's a good point. Now, you mentioned this meeting between George Bush and Tony Blair, and amazingly, Tony Blair has even lower numbers than Bush, which is inconceivable.
<I saw that. laughs>
And they asked George Bush what his biggest regrets were so far, and he said one was Abu Ghraib, and the second he said was some of the language he used during the war, like bring it on and so forth. He said he regretted that, but from what I heard on the radio, the snippets from these two guys, they sounded very melancholy. And their response is almost like they were two defeated dogs that have just been kicked and they know that the end is near for them. Is that the impression you get from what you heard from this?
Absolutely. That's very astute as far as your assessment. But I don't think it really means anything. I think these guys simply took a political tone. They stood together to act repentant and sorrowful. And neither one of them meant it, because the bottom line is they said they're glad they went in. And it's like, I can think of, about 2,500 men and women that are actually counted as dead, that are gone, and even more so, we've had the grossest number of limb transplants and so forth ever. Now, I found that particularly interesting. We are 3-1, I think it is, over D-Day. Now, D-Day, folks, was when you went running up the beaches trying to beat the beachhead of Normandy and everything, and The bottom line is that, folks, many people lost their lives there. Well, now they're better at not losing a life, but we're having multiple amputations go on, and I find that appalling. You know, we see the effects right now of the war visited on our men and women, primarily the men, but the women, too, and so many of them are amputees, but what we're not calculating in is the depleted uranium effect on them as well as us. Now, there are impacts and there are consequences to it right now, but the long-term effect is we have destroyed that whole region of Earth permanently for tens of thousands of years at least to be merely livable. What are we going to do with those people?
Oh, I agree.
I don't know, because we're steadily ruining every other area of the Earth, too.
Exactly. I mean, look at the 300,000 tons of sand that Beijing got. That was from the West. And some of that had to be from the area there. And I think the entire World Court, the entire World Congress is going to vote against the U.S. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what's going to happen to the Iraqis and the Iranians and the Afghanis as well. Many of them will ask to be relocated, those with the intellect to do so. And I think they'll be relocated here to the United States. I think that we'll see, again, the I-39, or is it I-35? Oh, I forget. The I-39 and the I-69 are both the superhighways that directly connect Mexico to the United States. And I think that once they start the completion of the construction of those highways, we're going to see Iraqis and all these people from the Middle East relocated there. They will like it. It'll be greatly preferable to that poison-toxified land they call the Middle East, and we will have in our possession, finally, real people from the Middle East, really and actually willing to carry out acts of terrorism because they've been well-trained by our government.
Good point.
That's cheerful. On Wednesday, the White House ruled out previously authorized direct talks between Tehran and the U.S. ambassador in Baghdad. They refused to pursue direct talks in spite of the fact they're getting pressured to engage in them from other nations, from Kofi Annan. Why this hardline approach? I mean, they seem so damn determined to go to war, Bill.
Well, I think that is because they're damned and they're determined. The fact is, when you say they refuse Tehran, they want to go to war. They want to have their war with Iran. And it's very bizarre the way this whole thing is working out. First of all, we are going to be the solidifying element of Iraq and Iran. I think that we will do more to bring those two nations together that's ever been done in the last 50 years. And there's been some harshness between the two nations. However, the Shah of Iran, the Prime Minister of Iraq, all these people, they are joined together with a common enemy that happens to be the United States. And I think the primary problem we have here is Evangelical Bush. Bush controls the evangelical movement through so many of the pastors are out there. This is the end of time. This is it. Bush has become the Armageddon president, and I don't think he's going to leave office without establishing such a horrific agenda of war that it will push us towards Armageddon. And I really sincerely doubt he's simply going to get out of office with a sigh. I think he's going to do everything he can to hold on to the power he has now.
Yeah. Well, there's, I call this the sleeper story of the week, and John Murtha came out, I guess it was at the end of last week, and he spoke about the murder of at least 24 innocent civilians, including women and children, in Iraq. Donald Rumsfeld was interviewed about this by Bill O'Reilly. O'Reilly was trying to poo-poo it, say, you know, is this to be taken seriously? Rumsfeld said, this is serious, and it hasn't broke yet, Bill. But what have you heard about this?
I've heard about the same thing. I don't know if they kept the footage. I don't believe they showed the footage yet, but when Rumsfeld said it is serious, folks, for him to admit the severity of an issue is rather fantastic. I mean, Rumsfeld is the angel of death as far as I'm concerned. His work on legalizing the illegal substance known as aspartame, which is a heavy metal a controlling element, it is a poisonous element. We will probably see millions of deaths, at least, by the time the fullness of discovery is done on that. For him to say something is severe, it is really severe.
And Bill, what would this do to the war machine or to this war in Iraq if this was another Vietnam My Lai massacre or something like that?
Well, I'm afraid that's exactly what it is, and it will fuel that agenda eventually. But right now they, the Republicans, and I include the Democrats with that too because I don't trust either party. Especially through this whole thing of William Jefferson and the allegations of him, and everybody's upset. First is even coming to his rescue. And it's like, you know, so I don't trust the Republicans or Democrats, but I'll tell you what, it will sit on the back burner. It's already played. It's not going to go out. It'll sit on the back burner, and I think the war tribunals that come down pronouncing financial and fiscal judgments on the United States will be very heavy, and that will figure intensely in the proceedings.
You fellas know the two countries that receive the highest amount of financial aid from the United States, right?
Mm-hmm.
Egypt and Israel.
Correct.
Well,
yes.
The U.S.
Well, that's funny because Egypt is nothing more than an extension of the English.
Let me ask.
Forgotten. The English ruled India. They ruled China. They ruled and still rule Egypt, and I think they've got them trapped again through financial interests. And so when they talk about the Chinese or India or Egypt, I immediately think the British because I don't think those connections were ever severed.
Okay, well, the U.S. Congress has come out with its 2007 foreign aid budget. You ready for this?
Yeah.
$1.7 billion for Egypt, $21.3 billion for Israel. And the only dispute or discussion was about what to send Egypt, not Israel, even though their economy is like rolling right along.
So the top one.
We have this massive deficit here at home. We're going to send them $21.3 billion more.
Oh, my God.
Well, you know, I've read that the actual, economy of Egypt, which is not the people, it's the Zionist elite that actually control and run Egypt, is a mess. But the people really aren't seeing the money.
I'm really concerned
about the average Jew versus a Zionist. You know, Zionism is a political assertion and is not a religious agenda. And so through that, we're seeing the incredible expansion of the Zionists. I mean, $21 billion, my goodness. What are these guys doing? Are they sleeping in the stuff? Are they burning it for firewood? And I'm afraid that when it comes down to it, the U.S., which cannot pay its debts, we are vastly in the hole with oil and everything else. I think that, again, we're going to see the awarding of some of the U.S. properties and to Israel right along with the other entities and in the Middle East, and we're going to see the transfer of what's taken place in the Middle East for hundreds of years take place here in the United States, and I think that our nation is pretty well doomed at this point. I don't think there's any recovery from this level. We're going to take the people over there who have been fighting over water for hundreds of years and now embroil them and enmesh them in an economy here which will be totally terror-run. Totally.
Why should we be concerned with whether the average Jew in Israel gets any of this money? Why should any of this money be going over there in the first place? What about the average American?
Well,
they bring up finance all the time
with Palestine. Palestine gets $2 billion a year. What a load of nonsense, because the fact is it's intercepted by Israel and withheld because of Hamas.
No, that's exactly right, and this is what we wanted in the Middle East, democracy, and then when they exert democracy and practice it, then we cut the money off to them. But
are we still paying Egypt not to attack Israel?
Well, that's what that money's for, but Bill, let's look domestically here, and I know that you've kept an eye on this for quite a while now. Ellen Greenspan, former head of the Federal Reserve, and now the current head, Ben Shalom Bernanke, they both assure the American public that the housing bubble is not going to burst. But I know just yesterday you sent something around that spoke to the contrary.
Well, the housing bubble has burst, and that's a fact. We have a 10% decline, which could trigger financial ruin. And this is we've got a 35-year real estate bubble here. Now, again, most people don't understand the concept that if you put $100,000 down on a $1 million house and the market drops 10%, you've just lost your savings and equity, and you probably will never see it again. They have shown the rise of pricing from $180,000 up to $230,000, actually closer to $240,000. And it's like, folks, I got to tell you, there is record bankruptcies. I think they have doubled just about every year since 1995. Well, you know, being as everybody needs somewhere to live, we all want to own property, you can't continue that out, folks. Sooner or later, somebody's going to say, hey, hold it, I want paid for my homes. And a lot of it is actually not Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac or Sally Mae or Sally Mac or any of that. A lot of it is foreign interest. You know, as we saw the ports that were actually still given over to the Dubai, none of that changed. We know Grand Central Station was. The foreign interest and the foreign investment in the U.S. market is pandemic now, and we don't own our own properties, and that's a fact.
Bill, a lot of people don't believe that AIPAC has much of an influence. I call that denial. But listen to this. There's some numbers, and then I'm going to ask you a question. AIPAC contributions to the 2004 congressional candidates, okay? For 2003 to 2004 election cycle, AIPAC contributed $1,447,172. For the period between 1978 and 2004, a total of $39,069,440. And the number of recipients during that same time period, 78 to 2004, 1,883 of our congressional candidates took money from AIPAC. Comment? Who do they work for?
I think that's greatly minimalized, too.
Oh, that's what's reported.
Right.
Yeah. Well, we've got so many other entities out there. We've got Abraham Foxman. We've got, the Wiesenthal Center. There are so many different diverse ways that these guys can receive money. You know, I recently sent out a PDF file, I believe it was, of all the congressional aides who had accepted AIPAC money. Everybody was on the list.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone, say maybe a handful of congressmen, were off the list. And we can't have that sort of money rolling around without effect. The U.S. always backs Israel. We do it prophetically, even though I don't think there's any merit or recourse to do that. We do it pathetically because basically they hold us up to religious beliefs that I don't feel are real or valid. And I'm very upset about it. And yet, what can we do about it?
Well, Bill, this is kind of a follow-up. A couple of days ago, I don't know if I've ever been much more ashamed to be an American than when I saw footage of Ehud Olmert, who's the Israeli Prime Minister, addressing our Congress, and it seemed like there was a camera on every single congressman because they were each trying to outdo the other one to applaud louder for this guy. It was so dismal and so pitiful that I felt embarrassed for the government of this country. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I'm upset about it because there's a guarantee pretty much, there's an unwritten agreement between the U.S. and Israel. Israel gets every bit of intelligence that we do. Now, that's despite real troubles with it. That's despite the fact that I think it's a real bad idea to have such a close alliance with Israel. But they did film all these guys. They had the cameras sweeping. I have no idea how many cameras they had. I would say probably 30 cameras at least. And you're right, they were showing all of them, different angles, different times. And it's like, so what happens if somebody says they don't like Israel? Maybe a shooting at the Rayburn Building?
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question, both of you. What does Israel do for us?
Well, they take up a lot of money. They take up a lot of time. They have caused us to have the scorn of almost every other nation of the world, save about four or five, upon us. They cost us economics. They cost us fiscally. They cost us morally. They cost us ethically. And they do nothing for us. And I think it's a real serious mistake for us to be joined at the hip and joined at the lip.
You're right. Well, it seems with the Bush administration, the house of cards keeps falling. They're cleaning house. It seems every week somebody new is resigning. The latest news is that Treasury Secretary John Snow is going to resign. Also, Bill, Dick Cheney might be called on to testify in the CIA leak case. What are your thoughts on Snow and Cheney possibly testifying?
Well, we've had a couple of big snow jobs recently with John Snow coming in and the other snow on the way out. And so I'm not surprised at all. John Snow, frankly, I can't believe the guy took the position of White House spokesperson because I don't think he has the guts for it. I don't think the guy's going to last. But regarding the other guy, that surprised me. It's time for him to go. Dick Cheney, though, is like that guy is an untouchable. He's an untouchable. While Bush is president, if he was found guilty of running over somebody in the crosswalk of the street, I think Bush would stand by him and give him a presidential pardon.
Now, when
we look at Halliburton and Kellogg, Rudin, Brown, and all these other entities that are over there, and they have looted the coffers of this country, and we refuse, totally, completely refuse to investigate these people, I'm really caught at that because this nation is already broke. I don't think we can afford to pay the financial reparations that these guys are going to have heaped upon them. I don't think we can.
You know, Bill, with Dick Cheney, it almost seems like he could shoot somebody in the face when he was drunk and get away with it. I mean,
You know what? I wouldn't be surprised if that didn't happen.
You see, he's been getting mouthy with Putin, too, in the last couple of weeks.
That's right. Yeah.
About getting mouthy with Putin, that's all politics. Because Putin and company, I mean, the fact is that when he took the oil field, something that Chavez did, and something that Bolivia did, it's like, oh my goodness, he's broken with the big boys, so I don't know what to think about that, except that I think they're running real short on time. I really do.
Well, there was an article that came out yesterday, and this isn't new news, but it was talking about how the the United States is going to dissolve into this something called the North American Union. That's basically the FTAA. But also that the dollar is going to be replaced with something called the Amero. How close are we to that, Bill?
Well, you kind of caught me on that one. I think there's been very strong rumors and allegations on that, on the Amero. That sounds so Mexican.
I know.
It may have been introduced by somebody who's anti-immigration, which I am. I think there needs to be better parameters on it. And, I mean, folks, if we want to make a difference in the nation, let's go to the most dictatorial nation in this hemisphere, Mexico.
Oh,
let's send troops down there. Let's put them on the dang border. This 600 or 800 troops they've got scheduled, it's not going to last because something else is going to break out. Whatever troops we send down there, we're going to see ending up in Iran.
Mm-hmm.
Bill, did you read Edgar Steele's latest article, I'm Out of Here, where he talks about he's so sick of this country, he's just going to get out with his family, and he's trying to figure out where to go, and he says, I'm just going to go to Mexico and then sneak back into America and get all these benefits and services because I'll be an illegal and so will my family members.
Absolutely, and Ed Steele, you know, he's controversial, but he does write some good stuff, and I thought that was a peach of a jest. I really
a good sense of humor. Well, Bill, you sent something around yesterday, and this is an article from March 6th, so it's a couple months old, but it was a comment made by former German Chancellor Helmut Kohl, and he was talking about the statements that Iran's president, Ahmadinejad, made about the Holocaust, and we had Mark Farrell
on. That was so important, folks, because the fact is that Germany has been penalized for 50 years plus.
Well, let me read this quote.
Because of its actions regarding the Holocaust, which I don't think really took place. I don't know how many people died who were of Jewish descent. Probably a quarter of a million, because 6 million was such a grossly high number. But I'm really concerned about it, because I believe, according to their own Talmudic beliefs, they have to have 6 million people die. There's only two places where you can find 6 million Jews in the world together.
Well,
New York
right.
or Israel. And
you're
that's
right.
it. There's no other place you can find that many Jews together. And I think that the people themselves, the Zionist leadership of Israel, is going to see 6 million people die. Now, I recorded a special that I have on tape, and I just found it. I can make a copy if you guys would want. It's called Megatech. And the entire special is on the underpinnings of New York City. The fact is, New York can't last. If it gets hit with a big hurricane, we're going to see total devastation. Total devastation. And how many people live near the ocean, in the Bronx and so forth? A heck of a lot of Jews, 6 million. We're going to lose a lot of people who are guilty of a belief system and aren't playing the politics. But unfortunately, there's no way to stop it. It's either going to be Israel or New York, and we're going to have a Holocaust, a real one this time, that'll take place. But it's avoidable if we move the people and made the correct determination nobody should live there. That area is doomed. New York City is on the largest fault line in the world, and when it goes, it's not going to be small. It's going to be huge.
Well, let me read this quote from Helmut Kohl. He said about the Holocaust, he says, for years we wanted to say this, the same things Ahmadinejad was saying, but we did not have the courage to speak out. So he's concurring with what Iran's president was saying, isn't he?
And I agree with that. I think that's right on the nose.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. Well, Bill, what now do you see as your sleeper story? What's coming up in the next week or so that's flying underneath the radar but it's going to rear its head?
Well, I think the William Jefferson article is real big.
Uh-huh.
The fact is that Bush has interceded. Frist has interceded. Everybody is interceding. The Congress as a whole says, hey, we don't want to give you the powers to investigate us. And I think out of that is going to come a reprisal. I think you're going to have an element come together of Congress, Democrats and Republicans. I just had a bite of a handful of sunflower seeds. I think you're going to have an element of Congress come together, Democrats and Republicans both. They're going to strictly start keeping a very close eye on Bush. You know, the fact is the immigration issue, which was passed this morning, is horrible beyond discussion.
Yeah.
I'm sure you're going to have somebody on soon to talk about that, so I won't bring it up. But it's absolutely insane. And the fact is these guys are running for re-election. and they're running for re-election, a lot of them, in just this next November, and they can't continue to sit by and abide things and be re-elected. Either the Democrats are going to stand up, either the Republicans are going to stand up, or I think we're going to see a wash of independents come into power.
Well, that's good. This fall, it's a few months off yet. Prediction, are the Democrats going to take one house, both?
I think they're going to take both.
Both of them. Okay, nice. Very interesting.
Hey, Bill,
very interesting.
Yes. Have they determined yet whether English is a language?
Well, you know, it's a unifying element in our society. That's it. The fact that English is not named as the quote-unquote national language, I'm beyond that.
It's so disgusting.
I can't even understand.
Yep.
What agenda stupidity thought that up?
You're right. Well, Bill, I have one more question for you, but before we close out, give everybody once again your website address. Tell them how they can find you.
Okay, folks, my website is proactivenews.com. I've done a lot of work. I'm going to update it here in just a couple of days. I do that about three times a year, and I'll have a ton of new stuff on there. It's proactivenews.com. My email to get on my email list is bill@proactivenews.com. I do ask that you say you heard me on Wing TV. You'd like a trial subscription, and if you do want to stay, I do ask $5 a month, folks. That's less than the cost of 1 week's newspapers, and I put opinions on there. I write, missives on so much about what's going on that's designed to get your eyes open. And so I just hope and pray I can get a lot more people on there. And, again, if you can't afford it, just tell me in the name of God that you can't afford it, and I'll get them out to you anyways.
And we love getting Bill's newsletter, and even more so, his opinions and his commentary on the news article, which really brings it more to life. But a couple nights ago, Bill, we did an interview with Visigoth. We do it every Wednesday night, and one of the big topics was this continued joining together of Russia and China. And yesterday there was an article This came from the Pentagon that's saying that 95% of China's military imports are now coming from Russia.
We just recently had an issue where, again, we were going to be doing business with, I'm going to pull it up real quick here, a financial company, and they were found to have been selling nuclear technology to China under the table. And I can't find it. I don't see it right now. I'm looking for it real quick. I don't see it right now. But this is a past tense. Now, what do? We slap them on the hand and say, it's okay. Folks, we can't do that. And the fact is that during Clinton's administration, he was pretty much a resolution president. The Chinese took the troops off the border, the Mongolian border. That was a big one. The Russians withdrew their troops. And the thought of those two powers joining together could mean physical doom, economic, but physical doom for the U.S.
Oh, I agree completely, and that's something everybody should keep an eye on. Well, Bill, thank you once again. That's proactivenews.com, the best email newsletter out there. And, Bill, we're going to have you on again next month, as every month, and we just very much look forward to having you on, because it's like we take a trip around the world and kind of touch upon everything.
Keep smiling, Bill.
Yeah, by the way, and that was tied in with the Chinese slant oil drilling they're doing off of Florida. And that's the end of it. I just wanted to mention that real quick.
All right. Okay. Well, Bill, thank you very much. Have a good Memorial Day weekend. Everybody else out there, have a good Memorial Day. We'll be back on Monday. We're going to talk about who is Jeff Rentz. And until then, keep your eyes open, because as you could hear from Bill, there's a lot going on.
No kidding. See you then.